You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, did you know if you leave it up to others to figure out what you mean or to figure out your intent, that 80% of the time, they're going to come to the wrong conclusion? Did you know that? Did you know that most of the time, people don't understand where you're coming from? They don't understand your intent, the reason for why you say something. They're completely confused. And you know, it's funny how we have these meetings with people and we talk about what we're talking about and we share our feelings and our views. But for the most part, they leave that meeting even more confused than before. You know, and it's interesting why that is because we assume that everybody understands where we're coming from. It's human nature to want to presume that people get you, that they understand you, that y'all have some sort of common bond. But most of the time, 80% of the time, that's just not true. It's completely off base. And the reason for that is because other people have different pasts. They have different experiences. They have different things that color their judgment. And they make and come to different assumptions and conclusions about things based on their life. They're not able to, you know, I don't know, unhinge your brain, pull it back, you know, it's like on a hinge, you know, take a scoop with their spoon of what you're talking about and basically eat the brain Kool-Aid. They're not able to do that. They have no idea where you're coming from, so they have to piecemeal it together. You know, I think one of the worst things that happened to our society was when somebody came up with that concept, TMI, too much information. And I think ever since then, we really don't get people. Like, everybody wants to make things really succinct. You know, yada, 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 I showed up at the studio. And you're like, wow, that's succinct. That's a succinct story. I remember back in Seinfeld when they had the yada, yada episode. Yada, yada. It's so succinct. Such an easy, breezy story, but we have no idea what they're talking about. We don't know what's going on in the beginning of that story. We don't know how I got to the studio. We don't know what kind of mood I'm in. We don't even know where I'm at, especially mentally, physically, emotionally. We know nothing. We just know that I said something and it sounded funny. Ha ha ha. No knowledge. And nowadays, with the amount of technology that we have a tendency of falling into this yada yada pattern with ever using the words yada yada. We kind of just try to make the succinct story as quick as possible to the point, but there really is no point because we're all still as confused as we were before we tried to make the point. And I think it's interesting how we're going down this slippery slope. We're wanting to communicate. We're wanting to be acknowledged. We're wanting to be understood. And we're being far from understood. People are jumping to conclusions, even making judgment calls based on what they think you're all about. And isn't that interesting? You know, when people say, you know, the first impression is the most important one. You can't ever get that one back. That's interesting. The first impression. So what if your first impression is completely off base? What if the person that you meet completely sees or hears what you're telling them completely different from reality? Think about it. I mean, for most people, this happens almost all the time. Almost every single time you meet somebody new, unless you go into complete detail and you spend several hours talking. And even then, there's going to be some assumptions made on both sides. However, even then, there's not going to be a lot of insight. But if it's just a quick meeting, people don't have a clue who you are and what you're about. It's amazing. And we go through life with these quick intros, these quick meetings, thinking, oh, everybody gets me, everybody understands me. But they don't. They don't get you at all. They don't understand you. They're not a kindred spirit. They don't understand. They're confused. They're more confused now than they were before. And on tonight's episode of Perspectives, we're really talking about how how to understand that most people will jump to the wrong conclusion, will jump to the wrong assumption about you, about your cause, about your intent, why this happens. But also, better yet, I'm going to also explain some awesome knowledge about how you can get your point across, how people can get to understand you better, and the things you can begin to do right now that'll change your life for the better immediately. And once you begin to do these certain specific techniques that I'm going to talk about in the second hour, your life's going to change. And it's going to be a lot easier. It's going to be more refreshing. And you know what's so cool about it is you're going to start understanding and seeing that things actually do come together when people understand where you're coming from. Because for the most part, all of us are just assuming that people get us. And sadly enough, for the most part, they're not. You know, the other day, I just had something happen which I thought was interesting, is that I've run into the same delivery person for every month for the last 5 years. And we talk, and we make small talk, and we talk, and we do that kind of thing. And you know how you make small talk. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? How's your day? Oh, how you working? How's your work day? Oh, don't work too hard, Al. You know, don't be working too hard. Oh, I won't. No, don't worry about me. You don't work too hard. No. What do you got going on this weekend? You got any plans? Do anything with the family? You know what I'm talking about. And so you have this small talk, but you know, you don't really ever get to know that person. And it's funny the kind of people or the people that we decide to relegate. Think about it. Who do we relegate the concept of this person's going to be a deep friend, this person's going to be an acquaintance, and this person's just kind of fades in and out of life, not really going to share a lot about my life? Why do we do that? And why is it defined on who they are in our life? Why can't that delivery person and I have a good relationship? Why can't they understand where I come from? I know who they work for. I know their business. I know their stuff, but not once do they know my stuff. And I didn't really think about that because, you know what? I assumed everybody knows everything. Think about it. Think about how many times we assume everybody around us knows what we're doing, who we work for, what our mission is, what our business is, all that good stuff. Think about it real quick. Think about even your family. There's even some cousins and aunts and uncles, you know, maybe even a sibling doesn't really know what you do. Much less all your friends and coworkers and everybody else. Think about it. I mean, it's interesting what we take for granted or what we assume people know. And so there we are. Let's go back to this whole delivery situation. And so this guy, actually, I've seen him once a month for 5 years. Nice guy. And he delivers water. I mean, I have a certain specific water that I drink, and he delivers the water. They're not advertising on our show right now, but eventually we'll get them on. And so, you know, it's like he delivers it. So today, a couple days ago when we were talking, you know, he's like, "What's going on?" And I was having a writer's block. And, you know, to do over 250 plus shows and to write them and to create them from scratch on my own, I don't have a team of production helping me do this. Because of that, sometimes you get writer's block ever so often. And, you know, a lot of times it can kind of coincide with the weather or coincide with other things that are going on in life. But I said, you know, hey, I got some writer's block going on, and it's a little intense because I got a few shows I got to do today, and I'm a little overwhelmed about it. And he's like, well, what do you mean, what shows? What are you talking about? And I was like, yeah, I have a syndicated talk show. Really? Yeah. Well, what is it? What is it called? Oh, it's called Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. Oh, wow. Well, what do you talk about on the show? I said, you know, I like to use the word we a lot, which is funny. But, you know, Bill comes on the show occasionally. We have some other people that come on the show, and I have some guests as well. And I said, we discuss a lot about conscious living, about awakening, about clarity. I recently did a show on causes that I thought was very interesting, about getting people aware of the causes that are important to them and what they can do about it. And you could see his smile. He began to smile, and he said, "What about politics?" I said, "Occasionally, but not normally." And he goes, "Oh, God, thank God." When we return, I'm going to be talking more about this interaction that I'd recently had. And this is going to shed some light on your life because you're going to start realizing the people that you've put in a certain position in life that you're not really explaining yourself and you're not even allowing them to really kind of even communicate with you. So stay tuned. When we return, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about how if we leave it up to others to figure us out, to figure out what we mean, to figure out our personal intent, you know, about 80% of the time, those people are going to come up with the wrong conclusion. It's part of life. I mean, we make these assumptions that people understand us all the time, and it's just the wrong assumption. Most people don't get you. Most people don't understand you because they haven't been around you long enough. They don't have the same background as you do. Think about it. We all make assumptions based on our own past experiences and our own life because our own life and our experiences color the way we see the world. That's why this show is called Perspectives. Okay, because we all have our specific perspectives on life. Really, think about it. And because we have our own perspective, what does that mean? We have a tendency of seeing things in our viewpoint, in our light, in the way that we see things. We don't always see them in how other people see them because you know what? We're not living their life. And so a lot of times we're misunderstood. We could be judged because of that. There's very little clarity. And sometimes that's why we might meet somebody and we think that there's something there and it turns around and you don't communicate with that person. They don't follow through. And a lot of times it's because maybe they didn't like you. They didn't know you. They didn't like you. They jumped to the wrong conclusions because they didn't have enough knowledge or information. Or they guess what? They made the wrong conclusion, which is about happens about 80% of the time. So let's go back to what I was talking about in the first segment. So I have a delivery person that delivers to my office once a month. And he's been coming around for about 5 years. I drink a specific water. They haven't come on board to advertise yet, so we won't discuss exactly the company name. However, I do like the water, obviously. I've been buying it for 5 years. And the other day, we started talking because I was having a bout of writer's block. And when you hit 250-plus shows, okay, and you write all of them and you create them, and I don't have a team yet. I don't have a big production writers team like Conan O'Brien or Oprah Winfrey. Eventually, yes, but not right now, and I don't really know. You know, I like to really create these ideas soulfully, but, you know, eventually I get it. You know, it's going to be a lot of shows, and I like other people's input, but right now it's me. Okay, so we have other people on the shows. We have people that chime in, but I write them. So sometimes, occasionally, because of the maybe it's Mars, maybe it's Mercury in retrograde, maybe it's just the weather, maybe it's things that are happening in my life, and it couldn't be all the other 80 hours of work that I do outside of the show. Laundry list, you didn't expect that, right? Too much information. So yeah, so there I am, we're talking, me and the delivery person, and I said, I have writer's block, and he's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, I write shows, I'm on 13 hours a week right now, and he goes, shows for what? And I said, for my radio show. He goes, what do you mean? I go, oh, I have a syndicated talk show. Oh, wow. What's the name of it? I go, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. He goes, oh, man, that's great. Wow, that's cool. And I go, yeah, thanks. And he goes, what do you talk about? And I said, we talk about conscious living and about finding your true calling and your purpose. And you know, sometimes we talk about causes and issues and things that you can do to better your life, to be more successful. You know, sometimes I talk about love and romance and that kind of sort of thing. And he goes, and I said, and occasionally I touch on politics, but when I do, I talk about the philosophy of politics. He goes, whoosh. Okay, that's cool. And we started talking. And because you have to remember, I see him as somebody that comes to my office to deliver water, which is great. And I've asked him about his family and his weekends and that kind of thing and the small talk. But we've never really talked. This has been 5 years. Once a month, I see him for 10 minutes a month. That accrues a lot of time. And so we talked about the show and all, and he goes, man, and he said, gosh, that's amazing. I said, you know what, let me get you a copy of my latest book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life. And he's like, oh my gosh, wow. And he goes, how many books do you have? I go, this is my third one. And he's like, oh my gosh. So I handed him a copy, and he goes, I had no idea. I go, I'm also a family therapist and counselor, and then I'm also a life coach. He goes, man, I had no idea that you did all this stuff. I had no clue. And it took 5 years for us to talk. And I said, hey, I'm really interested in what you think about the book. And he's like, definitely. I'll read it, and I'll talk about it next time I see you. And think about how many of these relationships you have in your life right now that you only talk about surface stuff because they, in your mind, it's like a compartmentalization of reality. You've compartmentalized this person as a water delivery person, not in your corporate culture setting, not as a lover, not as a this, not as a that. You don't really even think about it. Why is that? I mean, it's amazing the people that we probably already have around us that would be very interested in not only what we do, but what we think, how we feel, the things that we have in common. Not only that, education comes from helping people and to telling them things that they don't know or to reinforce things that they already think, but they maybe don't talk about it with others. Think about it. And so that was a very eye-opening experience that I had because I realized that, you know, even I too neglect certain relationships. And I think this is very important for us to think about tonight onto the show because really, honestly, there's no telling what he thought I did. I mean, you know, it's funny because if you think about a lot of times we all make snap decisions and judgments that normally aren't true. And I actually had somebody come into my my private studio, I guess it was about 3 or 4 months ago, and they were talking to me about something, and they didn't know I had a show, they didn't know I was on the air, and it was funny, they thought I was some sort of lawyer that did work from my office for like depositions. It was pretty funny. And a lot of times people jump to conclusions, and I've done it too. And I've really become better at that. And I've worked on that because I realized that we normally don't have all the information. We can't make a decision based on the information that we have because we have too little of it. We have too little of the information. We have no idea, honestly, what's truly going on. And so let's talk about this. How does this happen? How do we get miscommunication? How do other people jump to the wrong conclusion based on what we present? And I think it begins with that we assume that they actually know what we mean. Like they can read our minds and say, oh yeah, Ashley's meaning that. That's what she's saying. That's what she's coming to. That's the conclusion she's coming up with. Oh yeah, that's what she's saying. No, that's not true. I mean, think about some of the recent communications you've had, especially with new people in your life. And I think it's interesting because you can catch a few cues from people when they're definitely not understanding you or when they're maybe taking something in a wrong way, not of what you intended. I mean, I've had it before where somebody looks at me with a certain look and I'll be like, whoa, what's going on? And they'll be like, and I'll say, whoa, wait a second. And just with a little bit of clarity, they'll realize that that's not what I meant. And then they'll also realize that they had jumped to some sort of conclusion. And I think ever since somebody came up with the concept of TMI, too much information, this world has been even more divided, not to mention the technology. I mean, think about Facebook, for example. This is a good example of somebody puts up a comment or a picture, and 80% of the time, people are going to jump to the absolute wrong conclusion. Okay, and I can give a couple of examples right now. First example that really hits home for a lot of couples listening out there. You know how marriage is. Marriage is a great thing, and it's a lot of work. And to have a great marriage is a wonderful experience, but everybody out there knows how much work it really takes. And so I know that a lot of us go home after a long day, or even on the weekends sometimes, when we're laying in bed and we start looking at Facebook or social media of some sort, and normally Facebook, and we see our friend that seems to have the best marriage, you know, they're always pictures with each other and all this stuff, and it just seems so amazing, so awesome. Or, oh, there's John again, got the greatest marriage. Life is so great for him. Oh, looks like John just got a new Lamborghini. Look at him standing out there by that car. And we make all these judgment calls based on what we think we see. Because if you think about it in a picture, if you see a picture with this guy, your friend or whatever, in a car, and he's standing next to the car, is that his car? Is that someone else's car? Is he being funny? Is he being real? And so in order to say that's John's new Lamborghini, you have to sit there and think and put John and the car together and assume that that's his car. And so again, we're making an assumption. Same assumption applies when you see a profile picture with the couple together. We assume, oh, it's got to be the best marriage. They have a joint Facebook account. But you know what? When we return, I'm going to tell you about a little bit about having joint Facebook accounts and what that truly means and what the real conclusion actually is. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, if you leave it up to others to figure out what you mean, to figure out your personal intent, I'm telling you that 80% of the time, those same people are going to come to the absolute wrong conclusion. Because our society is so built upon technology and fast conversations, the yada yada of text messaging, we jump to conclusions on what people mean, what they're talking about, and we rarely really think deeply about the situation. And so we make these brash assumptions across the board, assume those assumptions to be true, and then create an emotional response based on what we read. I mean, how many times have you read a text message that literally just made you very upset? And it might not have had a lot to it, but we read a lot into it. We read a lot of information. We assume emotion into it, maybe more flippant emotion that we were, oh, I can't believe they came back and said that. But if you really look at a lot of that stuff, there's not a lot to it. We're jumping to conclusions. We're like literally chaining together, like piecemealing emotion and a couple of words here and filling in the blank. We're constantly filling in the blank and making our own assumptions. Think about the last time you met somebody, what assumptions you made about them, just in passing. What assumptions did you make about them, about their intelligence, about their schooling, about where they were heading to, about their state of mind, about how much money they had, about what they did in life? Think about it. So let's go back to the Facebook conversation. For any of y'all that are on Facebook, you know that we look at Facebook and we always think that this stuff is the gospel truth. They've posted it, so therefore it is. But nobody really thinks about the subtle innuendos or the subtle little offshoots of what it really is. We automatically look at a picture and we make a judgment call. For example, the couple's profile picture. So you have a couple in the profile picture. Even the joint Facebook accounts. Oh, it seems so cute. It seems so, oh, they're so in love. Oh my gosh, I wish my marriage was so in love and we shared a Facebook account together. Oh my gosh. Strawberries and picket fences and unicorns and angels just flying above and an apple tree and an orchard. No! We make these assumptions based on the fact that there's a couple's picture there, and so we automatically assume this couple must be the happiest couple on the planet Earth. They must have the best marriage, and our marriage sucks. Okay, there's a lot of assumptions there. There's a lot of massive assumptions being made right now. Reasons why that I think most of the time, 80% of the time, I'll tell you what happens when there's a couple's profile picture. Remember, I'm a therapist. I have to listen to this stuff every day. Most of the time, it's because somebody either got caught doing something wrong or was caught instant messaging somebody from the opposite sex late at night. And eventually the spouse finds out and decides that they can't trust the other spouse online by themselves. So now we've created a joint Facebook account. It's funny how we, from the outside, looking at everybody else, thinking that they must have a better marriage than we do, assume that their marriage must be better than ours because they have a joint Facebook account, when in probably reality, it's the exact opposite. Think about it. When was the last time that you wanted to go to the bathroom at the same time as your spouse? When was the last time that you wanted to share a cell phone? Okay? Who shares a cell phone? Think about it. Unless you don't have any money, and I understand that. If you're going through financial situation and you have to share a cell phone, that's one thing. But who shares a cell phone? Same with the car. How many people share a car? Oh, honey, I'll drive you to home and work. A lot of these reasons because somebody's really overly jealous. Somebody's scared of losing the other spouse. Okay? Somebody's highly insecure. Extremely insecure. Okay, insecurity, that's rough. When you have one spouse is extremely insecure, you have no personal time. That's another reason why people have joint Facebook accounts, because somebody's highly insecure, thinking the other one's cheating all the time, even when the other person's not doing anything. Rarely is there a couple. And I'll say that usually this happens about 1.5%, maybe 2% of the time, 2%, where a couple comes together to have a joint Facebook account. And it's because they're having a healthy marriage. Usually, somebody is either crazy, insecure, stressed out, worried that the other person is going to leave or cheat, or the other person got caught cheating, and the trust factor is gone. And it's funny how we develop this sense of assumption based on the fact that, oh, they have to have the best marriage. And why is that? Because you start questioning your marriage. And you start trying to build a story based on a profile picture that you see, but the story doesn't have any truth behind it. So, okay, we do that with a picture on Facebook. But think about how we do that in real life, when we see somebody in person, we make a decision. Or what about when we talk to somebody on the phone? We make a decision based on the way that they sound, the way that their pitch is, what they're saying. Think about it. Okay, so I don't know about y'all, but when I make calls a lot of times and I leave messages, one of the first things that most people say is, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. We get this handled, sir. We got this taken care of, sir. Okay. Well, the last I checked and every other day past that, I've been a woman since the day I was born. And so I know that I'm not a sir. However, because my voice is not so girly, people think I'm a man. So that's one thing. That's an assumption that somebody made, the wrong assumption. And I have a funny story about that. There's a guy, a friend of mine, his name is Barry, and he actually was on, I think he was on CBS for a long time. And he told me, he said he had a friend of his that was in a certain industry that could really help me probably to get on a national news type thing. And the guy was looking for unique voices, like a unique newscaster type voice that could really, you know, kind of get to the heart of the matter. Cut through the BS, you might say. And I said, you know what, Barry, that's great. I said, you know, hey, give me his phone number. I'll give him a call. I'll see if I can meet with him. He's like, yeah, that'd be great. And so I called, and he answered the phone. He's like, okay, great. Hey, how you doing? And I was like, I'm great. And I was like, you know, I talked to Barry, and he told me that, you know, X, Y, Z. And after I spoke for just a few minutes, maybe it was a minute or two, he said, hey, dude, I'm really glad you called, dude. That's really great. You know, I'm really looking for a unique voice, though, however, you know, and I just, dude, you know, you got a good voice and all, but, you know, I'm looking for something that's unique, that's different, and literally, 15 minutes in this conversation, I just kind of figured that the guy used dude a lot, you know what I mean? Like, I used to say dude back when I was, like, in high school and a little bit college, and I have a friend of mine, Paul, that used to get me all these, like, pins that would be like, what's up, dude, you know, because it was, like, kind of a word I used, but I stopped using it. I stopped using it because it wasn't that professional, and I realized that, you know, You don't want to, I don't, you just can't call everybody dude. You know what I mean? But that's cool. But I figured this guy might be just calling everybody dude. He's in that timing, and there's no good time or bad time to use that. But I kind of grew out of that. No big deal. No harm, no foul. But when I got off the phone, I'm thinking, gosh, I mean, unique voices. I mean, I think that I'm probably in the top 20 in the country or in the world, unique voices. I'm thinking, okay. And then I went, oh my God, he thinks I'm a man. Talking about doing your homework. I mean, you know, it's a great idea to just open up the website and look up Ashley Burgess and go, bam. I mean, it's only ashleyburgess.com. It doesn't take a lot of time to figure out. But most people don't do their homework, do they? Think about it. Most people do not do their homework. They just don't. They don't do their homework. And because they don't do their homework on you, you have to do it for them. You have to explain. You have to give more information. In that meeting, on the phone, I should have done specific things. When we return, I'm going to tell you about what I should have done, and we're going to talk more about why people make the wrong assumptions. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. You could be
my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, if you leave it up to others to figure out what you're talking about, to figure out what you mean, and to figure out your personal intent, almost 80% of the time, they're going to come up with the wrong conclusion. They're just going to come up with the wrong conclusion because they don't read your mind. They don't know exactly where you're coming from, and you have to explain it to them. You got to give them more information than you think that you need to. And even when you give them more information, you probably need to give them more from there. Like I was saying right before the break, a lot of times you think that people do their homework, but they don't. They just don't. So you got to do it for them and explain yourself. And you maybe overly explain yourself to the point where you're kind of like, man, I can't believe I'm having to explain myself, but do that for a reason. So when I was talking right before the break, I was talking about Barry, that friend of mine that was working for CBS, you know, told me to call up a guy about, you know, possibly being on the nightly news. And they were looking for a really unique voice, a compelling voice, and a good look, and somebody that was, you know, intelligent and, you know, broadcast journalism, that kind of thing. And I called him, and I talked for about a minute or two, and then he started talking, and every time he kind of was talking to me, he always used the word dude. And I went through a timing when I was younger where I went through the dude thing. I thought maybe most people kind of grow out of it, but it is what it is. And it wasn't until I got off the phone after he told me that he was really looking for a unique voice, he was looking for something specific, that I was thinking, man, I mean, I have a pretty unique voice. I'm thinking, what is he looking for that's more unique? Okay, I mean, like, come on. I mean, if you look at me and the voice, it is kind of a, it's kind of a, you know, a double threat, I guess, in a way. But at the same point in time, if you just take the voice on its own. However, he made the judgment call without doing any homework that I must be a man. Like, he never looked at AshleyBurgess.com. He didn't do anything. He didn't even Google me while he was on the phone. Nothing. Not one thing. He made a total assumption based on that fact. And that's a big time assumption. And that is a huge assumption. What if that assumption cost you $100,000? What if that assumption cost you the love of your life? What if that assumption caused you the next step in your career? What if that assumption caused you happiness? I mean, think about these things that we make all the time, the judgments and the assumptions that we make on other people based on what we hear or what we see with no extra work done. I mean, it's like we all want to make the judgment call. We all want to judge somebody on how they outwardly look. We assume what they mean. We assume what they're trying to get at, but we really don't know. And we don't ask. That's the thing, is that recently what I've been working on is asking. If I don't know something, I ask. I ask for clarity. Because I'm not going to just take something for face value and make an assumption based on that. Actually, I want to do quite the opposite. I want to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, but at the same time, I want to make them very aware that I have no clue where they're coming from. That I'm completely and utterly lost. And the thing about assumptions is interesting because a lot of times when we make assumptions, they're such snap decisions that we don't really even realize we're making them. And because we don't realize we're making these assumptions, we kind of think that they're fact. We think that they're fact because they're already in our mind. And so we make our decisions based on this fact that's not a fact at all. It's actually something that we just created in our mind. It's a flash in the pan. And we don't ask for this clarity. And that's something that needs to be considered. Why is it that we don't ask for clarity? Why is it that we don't step up to the plate and say, hey, I like you a lot. You seem like a nice person. Or, hey, I don't really get you. Could you explain what you're getting at? I'm confused. I mean, think about text messaging. The other day, somebody sent me a text message and said that I'm trying to do this for you. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. Something else. And I responded back with, I really appreciate all the help. However, let's lose the word trying and change that to creating, doing, succeeding. And I woke up the next day and they had responded about 3 o'clock in the morning and they said, I don't understand what you're trying to say to me. I have no idea what's going on. I know you're working hard. Not one time did they understand what I was getting at. That I was saying, let's not try. Let's replace that word. Let's get rid of that word trying. Let's get rid of trying. And let's do. Let's be. And let's am. Those are the things that I was trying to say. But at no time did that person understand what I was trying to say. And how many times do we send text messages and then get bent out of shape because things don't happen or go our way? Or we feel that someone's trying to put us down or trying to tell us something or trying to gun after us. Think about it. When was the last time? Some of us have this happen on a daily basis several times a day. Seriously. And then some people just automatically jump to conclusions because it's the first thing on their mind. And we don't really remember or think ever about the fact that we were all raised differently. We all had different parents or different people that raised us and brought us, as, you know, up as children. We don't realize that we all had different experiences. We don't. I recently did a really neat career day experience. I think it's my second or third this year. And I like doing career days because they're so fun. And this time I actually got to do a career day for an elementary school. And it was a lot of fun. And the kids are adorable. And in one of the classes, the teacher was like, do you want everybody to sit down, like come up from their desk and sit down on this? Like, they like, you know, remember the carpet? Remember when the teacher had her chair next to like the little artist, like easel board, you know, and the chalkboard was behind her. I remember she had her chair there and there was like a piece of carpet there. Big enough that if all the kids kind of worked together and sat close together, they could all sit down on the little rug, the little carpet where the teacher was right at the corner there, and they'd all sit next down by her feet, by her legs. She'd read. And the teacher said, would you like the kids to come sit down by you? And I said, that'd be great. That'd be great. And I look over to the right of the easel, and I see the word perspective. And it had a key, a picture of a key. And I went, huh, well, that's my key today to talk about perspectives. Funny how that is. And she had no idea that I had a show called Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. It's just the way that synchronicity works. And I asked the kids, I said, what do you know about perspective? And they kind of looked, I don't know. Tell me, what is perspective? What is it? I said, better yet, how many, are you the only child or how many brothers and sisters do you have? Are you the youngest? Are you the oldest? Are you the middle? And I went through every student in the class. There was, in the first class that I was in, there was only one only child. There was about 7 middle children. There was about 8 youngest. And about 7 or 8 oldest. So there's a lot of mix there. Which I thought was pretty cool. It was a large class. But coming from that perspective alone changes things. Think about that. Think about how life looks when you're the oldest, when you're the youngest, when you're the middle, or when you're the only. Think about it just in that simple of terms. That's the way that I was able to break it down and explain perspective to elementary school students. And they got it. And we started talking about if they got along with their brothers and sisters. Was anybody getting beaten up or, you know, dealing with brother or sister issues? What was going on? And it was interesting to hear the stories of the children because it really puts a spotlight on perspective. Because that's just one grain of someone's life. One capsule of it. Do they have any brothers and sisters? If so, where are they at in the food chain? Think about it. And that's just one facet of someone's life. Not to mention the way they were brought up, where they were brought up, if they were brought up in this country or another country, the way they were raised, the schooling, education, friends, family, outlook, the past, the things that happened to them, good, bad, and different. All this shines light on someone's perspective. And we feel like a 5-minute meeting tells all. Oh, they're going to understand me. They're going to get me. I'm not that hard to understand. Goodness sakes, everybody I know loves me. Well, let's take a step back real quick and let's analyze that and realize that most people get confused. They jump to the wrong conclusion. Almost 80% of the time, people will jump to the wrong conclusion based on a limited knowledge base. So when we return, we'll be talking about what happens and where does this misinformation get us? Where does the misinformation or the misconceptions, where does that put us in life? But better yet, how can we make ourselves clear and what can we do to not have miscommunication and to be understood by the people we meet? Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back in 2 shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about if you leave it up to others to figure out what you mean, if you leave it up to others to figure out your intent, 80% of the time, they're going to come up with the wrong conclusion. It's just math. They're going to come up with the wrong conclusion. And the reason why they do that is because we assume that everybody knows what we're doing, how we feel. People assume everything. I've even been there before where I assume that people know what I do, who I am, what I'm about, my whole mantra. No, they don't. They don't know. You know, we assume that other people have our same experiences and our past and our perspective. We have to, or we would offer more information, shed some more light on the subject. You know, and a lot of times this happens, and I talked about this in the last hour, for that matter, is that we all come from a different perspective. And when I was at the elementary school for the career day, which I had a blast at, it was amazingly fun. And it was really cool because it was elementary school kids. And it was a good time. And it was funny when I went into that first classroom, the word perspective was in a laminated page on the easel. And to the right of the perspective word, the word perspective, it had a picture of a little key. Of a key that you would open a door with. Okay? And I was sitting there and I was talking to the kids and I said, hey, do you know what perspective is? Do you know what that means? And they go, no, we don't. Ashley, what does it mean? And I go, well, I got an idea. How many of you have brothers and sisters? And certain ones raise their hands. Mostly in the first class, everybody except for one raised their hand. And then we went around the room and I asked them questions about how old, how young, are they the oldest, are they the youngest, are they the middle, are they the only? And some of them even had stepbrothers and sisters. Some even had brothers and sisters that were no longer living with them. There was a situation that took place. You know, there's a lot of stuff to it. Some people had moved in and were now living with their uncle or aunt and didn't get to see the other siblings. You had some that were, you could tell, were beaten up constantly or being messed with by the older brother or sister. You had some that didn't even get spoken to by the older brother or sister. And then you got some that got along. And it was funny because then some of the kids were talking about how their brothers and sisters were so much older. And on my third class, the teacher was pretty cute. She goes, well, some of them were surprises. Speaking of some of the kids in her class, because they're the next youngest sibling to them. They were 7 and the next youngest was 17, 18, 19, 20. And it was interesting to hear the students' perspectives. Because that's what life's all about, is where you came from, your experiences, your life philosophy comes from this. And until you literally walk in other people's shoes, or until you really get very conscious of other people's lives and you understand it, you think based on your perspective. And because people think normally based on their regulated perspective, they normally misconstrue what you're trying to do 80% of the time, if not more. Misjudge you almost all the time. And so let's begin our second edition of this concept. Let's go into the next dimension. I like to call this the second dimension of this concept. Let's talk about how we feel when we have been misunderstood. How do we feel when we know that we've been misunderstood? How do you feel? I mean, I know how I feel when I've been misunderstood. I mean, when I was talking about earlier in the last hour when I called that gentleman up about the newscasting position, and he kept calling me dude on the phone. And it wasn't until I got off the phone that I realized, oh my God, that guy thinks I'm a man, and definitely he doesn't probably think I'm going to have that unique of a voice. But it's funny, in that situation, it was kind of funny, but it kind of upset me. Because I was like, I took all this time, I was hoping to have this interview, this meeting, and nothing happened out of it because somebody made a judgment call that was completely off base. That made him actually look kind of stupid, but it didn't help me at all. And a lot of times people don't do their homework and they jump to conclusions and they think that they have a beat on things. They have a finger on the pulse and they really don't. The pulse is way over in the other room and they're over there touching something else. I don't know, a live wire, I don't know, an open spark. I have no idea. But they're nowhere near what's going on in your life. And so let's talk about how we feel when we are misjudged, when we are misunderstood, really. I think the first thing is that we feel almost put in the wrong place. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in positions where you've gone in for a job interview, and the next thing you know, you're getting placed into another interview, and then the next thing you know, they're asking you if you want a specific position. And you're like, oh my God, I don't, this isn't really what I want to do. But they're gung ho on it. They got a good beat on things. And if we don't watch out, sometimes we can be regulated to the wrong place because people make their own judgment call because they misunderstand where we want to go or what we want to do. And because they misunderstand that, they try to regulate us and put us somewhere else. And sometimes we go, oh my God, is this where I'm supposed to be at? We start questioning our own logic. Well, I mean, they might know better. And any time I've ever done that, it was the wrong decision. Wrong decision. When I thought that they might know better. The last time I put my foot down when somebody was telling me that they knew better was when somebody wanted to change my last name from Burgess to Bridges. At first I sat there and I went, what? Because it was so out of left field. I mean, come on. You've had people ask you to do something or give you an ultimatum that's so far out of the realm of possibility that it takes you off guard. And when it takes you off guard, when something sincerely takes you off guard, it's kind of hard to pull all the pieces together. So for a second or there, you kind of feel like you're on shaky ground. And you start wondering, maybe they got something to say. But you finally have to get back in and get your wits about you and go, what in the heck are you talking about? I'm definitely not changing my name from Burgess to Bridges. Bridges is harder to say. And there already is a Lloyd Bridges. And I know I've harped on this before, but you know what? You got to be careful where people put you in. What position they put you in based on their misunderstandings of where you want to go. Think about it. People misunderstand people 80%, if not more, of the time. Every day, all day. Okay? Seriously. I mean, think about going to a restaurant and asking somebody, asking the waiter, what's your favorite on the menu? Okay? Most of the time, they're going to pick something that you don't want to eat. That's why you got to stop asking what other people want and start figuring out what you want. Once you start figuring out what you want, guess what? You can make it very clear to people the direction you're going. No. That's not where I'm going. This is where I'm going. No. That's great. That sounds great for you, and that sounds like a great concept, but this is honestly where I'm heading to. Okay? And I think a lot of times when we make it very clear, when we explain ourselves to people, we don't get put into the wrong place. I mean, think about it. My father worked in the medical industry and still does, and years ago when I was a young kid, he did a lot of calls on hospitals, and he remembered telling me about how this one guy was put in the hospital and was brought into the ER, and they had him down for the wrong procedure, okay? And so instead of having, I think he was having some sort of knee replacement type surgery or some sort of something like that, like ligament. I don't think it was a complete replacement at the time, but it was at the edge of that, you know, it was at the beginning of the replacement knee surgeries. And I think he ended up getting his spleen taken out. But it's like, if we don't speak up and we don't explain to people, in that situation, it's a little different. However, a lot of times we allow other people to define us, or we take for granted that they know where we want to go or what we want to do or what we see our future holding. And I think there's a lot of information in what I just said. A lot of times it might not just necessarily be that people are trying to put us somewhere, but they've made an assumption that we want to go there. And also we turn around and assume that they know what's best for us and they actually know where we want to go. Both are assumptions. Both are wrong. Both is miscommunication. Both is misunderstanding. And guess what happens at the end of that application? People get mad. They get angry. You screwed me on this deal. I'm upset. You don't even listen to anything I have to say. And so there becomes an argument. When all this could have been taken care of easily by sitting down and realizing that communication can't be glossed over. It can't be pushed off to the side. And it can't be speed dating. You can't be speed communicating and get what you want in life. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking more about how it feels when we're being misjudged. And eventually, later on, we're going to talk about what we can actually do, what we can begin to do now, what you can begin to do tonight to increase the odds of being understood by others. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I'm ready to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about how it feels to be misunderstood. And, you know, I know a lot of people out there listening tonight have felt the sting of being misunderstood. And how painful that can feel sometimes, because a lot of times it feels very undermining. It feels very rude, even. It's like, how dare them think that that's what I wanted to do? Or how dare they think that they can make me a judgment call on me like that? They don't even know me. And that's the key. They don't even know you. They have no idea who you are. And we've made the assumption that they know us. And they've made the assumption that they know us. And so there we're in this quandary, because now we have to sit there and back it up. Beep, 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 beep. Back it up. You don't know me. And now you got to figure out how to say that in a nice, sweet, loving, cherishing way. And you have to make a time to get back with them to talk. And that's to say that they're going to want to talk, because they already think that they already know you. There's nothing else to learn. You're an open book. And the funny thing about it is that you might be an open book to them, but you haven't even read the book that they think you are. You haven't even known about the book. You haven't even seen the cover. But guess what? That's you now. And they're making decisions on you based on what they think you are. So the first thing that we feel a lot of times, and I talked about this in the last segment, when we're being misunderstood, and when we know that we are being misunderstood, is that we normally get put into the wrong positions, the wrong situations, and we're told that this is the perfect place for us. That this is exactly where you need to be. This is good for you. And I think it's funny because sometimes, you know, I've been in both positions where I go, no, not at all. This is not at all where I want to be at. Okay? Not at all. I don't know how you came from this perspective to here and came up with this. Okay? And then we have to back it up. Other times you can sit there and go, well, maybe they know more than we do, or maybe they know more than I do about myself. Now you need to really back that one up too, because if you think that someone on the outside that just met you knows better what you need than you do, you need to check yourself. Because you need to get a grasp about that. You need to get your hands around your life and figure out what exactly you want to do in life and on all facets of life. I don't care if your career is already figured out and all that's great. But what do you want to do in life? What kind of vacations? What kind of travel? What kind of experiences do you want? On the flip side, if your career is in question and you feel like you're not following your purpose and you're trying to figure that out, make it clear. Put some goals out there. Put a mission statement out there. A reason for doing something. Okay? And I think that at least if somebody reads it or you take the time to talk about it with somebody, they might start getting the hint. But even then, they're going to make assumptions on how you plan on getting there. Okay? And so we have to be very clear. No yada yada, no succinct story when it comes to explaining who we are. And one of the biggest things that you can do is not get angry about explaining yourself. You know, I know a lot of people, because you remember I'm a therapist and I'm a life coach and I'm a counselor and I'm a human being too, doggone it. Sometimes you go, I can't believe I had to explain myself. I just hate explaining myself. I don't see why I have to go around explaining myself all the time. Well, you know what? That's something we're all going to have to do for the rest of our lives. I mean, most of us in our own marriage have to do some explaining sometimes, don't we? Why we did what we did. Why we made that choice. Why we said that. Our attitude. Remember explaining our attitude? Attitude. Where are you getting the tude at? You know, you have to explain the fact that this isn't an attitude. I've been dealing with something, whatever it is, we have to explain in our own marriage. Why do you think you don't have to explain in relationships that you just make? And then sometimes when we do explain, I think the funniest part about explaining is that when we do explain, sometimes we just assume that people are just going to be like, oh yeah, great. That's awesome. That's perfect. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Great, 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 great. Let's do it. Sometimes people have to digest it. Okay. When you explain yourself to some people have to take the time to think about it, to process it, and to digest it. To think, to process, and to digest. And when we think about things, and we process things, and we digest them, the reason why it takes some people a long time to do this is because a lot of times there's a lot of people out there that either don't operate from the truth, or they're rarely told the truth. And you have to understand that in that situation, if you're telling somebody the truth and explaining to them who you are, that can feel maybe a little overwhelming to them. Maybe they don't understand how to take you, how to understand you, what your reasoning for discussing this information with them. And so it takes a little bit of thinking on their part. And then it takes a little bit of processing because they have to process it. Because it's something that they weren't expecting, or it's something that maybe they don't absolutely understand, or they don't come from that perspective. And then they have to turn around and digest this and see how they feel about what you've told them. And so sometimes we sit there and say, well, I explained myself to so-and-so and I haven't heard a thing about from them. I guess they just vanished into thin air. That could be because they're totally busy. That could be they totally forgot about you. Or that could be because they're totally thinking and wondering what they're going to do next about you. Or where they stand. Or if they can even be of any sort of help to you. Or if they even want to help you. Think about it. And so if you're being authentic and you're being honest with people and you're cool with explaining yourself, you can go far in this world because that's what people want. I mean, yeah, sure, there's going to be some people that don't want you to be authentic, that can't handle authentic people, that are so used to people lying and cheating to them, that's become second nature in their life. And they're just so used to it that that's what they're used to. That's their lifestyle. And so if you're going to come in there being all authentic and all, they don't know how to take you. Okay. Go on. I don't know what this person's about. Funny enough is that if you're around somebody that's really not authentic and not straight up honest, if you're honest and really authentic, they're going to think you're not. They're going to think something's wrong with you. So again, you have to relate back to the whole concept of your perspective and their perspective. Think about it. It's an interesting concept. So let's talk about that. When you know that you're being misunderstood, you also feel not only that you're being put in the wrong situations, but you feel judged. When we're being misunderstood most of the time, guess what? People are actually judging us because they misunderstand what we're saying. They misconstrue it in a negative format or in something that's not helpful, and then they judge us on it. Right? Happens every day. I mean, think about it. When was the last time that you made a comment that you thought was self-explanatory, but obviously wasn't? The person made a judgment call on you, and the next time you see them, they kind of look at you funny. Maybe they look at you a little odd. Maybe they don't even speak anymore. And if they do, they might have a little attitude. Hi. Hey. Good to see you. You know what I'm saying? And you're just like, what happened there? They made a judgment on you. Because they misconstrued whatever you said and it wasn't explained well enough to them to the way that they could understand it, they're formulating a judgment call on you. And now you're under the fire and you're under fire with them and you're being judged. And that's fine to a degree because you're not going to win over everybody. You're not going to be able to explain to everybody. Not everybody's going to listen to you. But for the most part, remember that if you're being judged by somebody, if they know anybody, they can go around and tell other people what they think about you. Well, I think so-and-so's a real jerk off. Why? I was talking to him the other day in the lobby, and they said this, this, and that. Oh, man, that person's a real jerk. And so a lot of times we don't really think about the spinoff effect of one person making a judgment call on a miscommunication. Think about it. When was the last time that you had a connection with somebody, you were talking to them, and some miscommunication came about, and it felt like you were being judged, and instead of stopping things and saying, hey, time out, I think that we've gotten off on the wrong foot here, I think something has been left unsaid, or maybe something's been misconstrued, let's bring it back real quick, and let's talk. Most of the time, we don't do that because we're so busy. Oh, we don't really think anything about it. Oh, it's got to be in my head. Well, you know what? Most of the time, unless you are completely and utterly panic-driven and anxiety-ridden and paranoid, if you don't find yourself in one of those three places all the time, then a lot of times the thought that goes to your head that the person doesn't understand you is totally right on. And that needs to be addressed ASAP. Because you really don't want people going around making decisions and making comments about you based on something that they think they know about you that they don't know. That's not good for anybody. I recently had a situation with a client, and I really can't use the word client because I feel that when a client slash patient comes in to work with me, There's a few months that go into that. I'm not a years person because I think that if a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a therapist or a life coach can't help somebody in a year, then they're not doing something right. Okay. So normally my process is a few months. I haven't had anybody over 6 months, and that says a big deal. And most people and everybody that leaves here are very happy. Their life has changed immensely. But I recently had a pseudo-client that only came in 3 times that's run around town recently telling everybody that I am his life coach, that I am his therapist. And he's completely out of control. And I understand that. I mean, I've had other clients that are manic depressive. I also have other clients that are bipolar, and that's fine. And we work with these processes. But in the same point in time, when you have somebody making a decision and telling other people about that, people can get a misunderstanding. And because of the business that I'm in, you can't just go around telling everybody the business. You have to contact the client and discuss with them. And that's what I did. And when we return, I'm going to talk more about what happened with that client, how we got past the misunderstanding, and how we brought some reality into the light. So stay tuned, because Perspectives is your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about what it feels like to be misunderstood. You know, we've talked about being put in the wrong positions, in the wrong situations, as well as feeling judged and knowing that you're being judged. And recently I had a client, in quotation marks, that had only come with two or three visits. And I really help a client in less than 3 to 4 to 5 months maximum, get them back on their feet, their life's changed for the better. I'm not one of those people that keeps clients for years and does little with them. I just don't think that that's a good use of time, and I don't think that's a good use of money or resources for anybody. So I had a client that only came in 3 times and was going all over the planet Earth, telling everybody that I was their life coach, but they were completely out of control. And because of the industry that I'm in, and because of the oaths that I've taken, and because of certain things, I can't sit there and call up people. I have to communicate with the client themselves. And I had to call them up and explain to them, hey, by the way, you've only seen me 3 times. And we really need to talk about what it means to be someone's therapist in life, because you actually have to show up for the appointments, okay? And they had missed about 10 in a row. And I said, you have to show up for the appointments. You can't just use that. You just can't use that title all over town. Because what happens is that people get a misunderstanding. Think about the photographer that does the photo shoot. And he goes over the photos with the lady that he does a shoot with 5 or 6 days later. And he picks out the photos that he thinks exemplifies the look that she's going after, as well as the ones that make her look the most beautiful. And they go through that process and he shows her, this one, that one. And this one would be the best one for, let's just say, you know, you're a realtor and the lady's looking for a picture for her new business card. And so, you know, the days go by and she's like, thank you so much. She pays for the photo shoot. And she's like, you know, I'm going to go on and get the pictures done myself and I appreciate it. And, you know, he leaves feeling good. He's done her a good job on the shoot. She's happy. But it's not until a few months later, when somebody that knows the photographer says, man, I saw so-and-so's pictures, and man, what happened? She had a bunch of people over to her house and was telling everybody how you were her photographer and all. And man, I'm just going to be honest with you, straight up, it wasn't very good work. And the photographer's like, what do you mean? I did excellent work. I mean, I did all this work. I did all the lighting. It looked really great. And he goes, man, let me just show you. She gave me her business card. And it's got one of your pictures on it. She went and told everybody. There's 100 people there. And she told everybody that, you know, you were the photographer and all. And the photographer's friend hands him the woman's new business card. And he sees a picture on it and almost loses his lunch. Oh, my God. This is one of the 3 pictures I specifically told her not to pick because I didn't think it looked anything like her. And the friends over there are like, well, she's got like 6 or 7 of them blown up in her house. And now the photographer realizes that she's going around all around town telling people that that's her photographer. And they're all looking at his work going, man, he's awful. He's the worst. I'm never going to hire that guy. Think about the personal trainer. Think about the personal trainer that has a client that comes in that's 400 pounds. And he knows he can do it, but the client doesn't show up to the workouts, doesn't start the diet, actually starts eating more and gaining more weight, but goes all around town saying that so-and-so is his personal trainer. You're not going to hire that guy. No way the heck are you going to hire that guy. You're not going to hire this guy. This guy's 400 plus pounds. If he can't help that guy, there's no way he can help you. And so think about the miscommunications that are going around even behind your back that you don't even know about. Think about it. Think about if you run a big business and think about if somebody doesn't seem to be able to communicate with you or doesn't seem to be able to get an email response back from you, that person that doesn't get responded back to will tell other people about how you're not a good communicator. And you don't even know that half of your organization thinks that you're a bad communicator. You have no idea. Because you think you're a good communicator because you got a good beat on things. And so think about it. Not only is our miscommunication and judgment being made on you to your face, okay, in this reality of this world we're in, but also there's judgment and miscommunication made about you behind your back without even you knowing about it. Not even behind your back, just happening when you're not even around. So we got to figure out how we can take all this miscommunication and all this misplaced judgment and all this misunderstanding about you by other people and change it. Because the only way that we can get through life in a positive manner where we get what we want and we want what we get and we get to meet other people and have a good life and feel good about it and be put where we want to be put at because we put ourselves there is by being understood. And there's some distinct ways of how we can definitely be understood, and I want to begin talking about that right now. I don't think we can wait any longer. Think about it. Think about how many people are misunderstanding you right now. Think about how many people have made judgment calls on you about things you don't even know happened. Had that photographer's friend not come to him and shown him the business card and had actually been there, the photographer would never know that about 100 people at her event thinks he's a really, really bad photographer and is never going to hire him. But she thought she was doing him all this good. And think about that miscommunication its own. Well, I did all this for you. Think about the trainer and the person that's overweight that's not working at it. And I have sympathy for people that have weight issues. Because it's hard to deal with. But if you put work and time into it and you follow a regimen, you can lose weight. And think about that person where he goes around telling everybody that so-and-so's his trainer. Everybody's going to be like, man, I ain't training with that guy. What's he going to do for me? He's going to do nothing for me. And so besides that, think about when you meet people in person, you have to be very explicit in a positive way and organized with your thoughts so that they don't judge you and misconstrue you. And you don't even know that when you meet somebody, you could be dispelling a previous judgment that was made without even knowing. Because this happens all the time. Okay? Because you don't know who you've been misunderstood by and the comments that person is making when they're out at work or when they've had a few drinks with people and talking about how you're a jerk. Okay? So let's talk about what can we do now to increase our odds of being understood by others most, if not all, the time. And I think the first concept that we want to talk about is that too much information is the key to our success. Giving too much information to some people is a problem. To me, it's an asset. To me, it's something that you have to do all the time if you want things to work out. Because a lot of times when we don't give enough information, we feel that the other person's not listening. We get angry about it and we feel like they're kind of taking us for granted. However, what's really happening is the person doesn't understand you, and then you start getting bothered by it and your outward appearance, you know, you kind of seem upset and angry and bothered, and your outward appearance seems the same. And then they start feeling your emotion and saying, man, Ashley's a total jerk. What's she mad at me about? Huh. I come over here to get some work done and now she has an attitude? Who gives her the right to have attitude? Think about it. And think about how many times it happens in the workplace where we assume that our coworker knows what they need to do and they don't. And they come back and they've screwed up an entire report and we're over there like, what are you doing? You don't listen to anything I say. And then you start having your feelings hurt and you think that they don't care. And they start getting their feelings hurt. And now you not only have miscommunication, but you have emotional miscommunication between the two. This causes problems. This can cause HR problems. This can cause a slew of problems that can be very difficult to get over. And it happens all the time. And it's funny how sometimes this happens and most of us don't even realize it's happening until it's too late. Until things and water under the bridge is so bad that the other person now has HR to talk with you and them because they don't want to talk with you. Think about it. Too much information is key. Stay tuned. When we return, I'm going to give you the other options, the other things that you can do now to increase the odds of being understood by others and not being wrongfully judged. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and
sound. Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about now what we can do to increase the odds of being understood by others most of the time. And you know, when we're being misunderstood or we're being judged, we know it, we feel it at least to some degree, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't even know what's going on. And that's a problem because if we're being misunderstood and judged wrongfully, then we're not being understood. We're having problems relating, and other people don't know what we stand for. So what can we begin to do now to increase our odds of being understood by others? And the first thing we can do is to begin to give too much information. Because you know what? Too much information is key to your success for being understood most of the time. You know, it's something that we've recently done is like, I don't want to give too much information. I don't want to get carried away. You know, I don't want to tell them too much. I don't know where they stand. But this is the opposite of what we need to be doing. We need to offer more information, be more clear, be more transparent about who we are and what we want. Think about it. When we give a lot more information than we're used to, the reason why a lot of times we don't do that is because we feel like we're having to explain ourselves. But you know what? Sometimes you have to explain yourselves. I've had to explain myself on a daily basis with people. I don't mind it because guess what? When I do, it opens up this entire awesome communication where people begin to realize what I stand for, who I am, and how we connect. And the more information that you give actually shows the more respect you have for that person because you actually care to communicate. It shows caring. Communication and caring. Aww. I don't know why I think about Care Bears. When I think, remember the Care Bears? And they had like the little symbol on their bellies. I don't know. Maybe that's dating me. But anyway, there you go. So yeah, caring and communicating. It's something that we share. Like, for example, until I really started communicating with that person that delivers my water, we didn't realize what each other does and we didn't know how we could be connected. That's a big deal. And look around you and realize how many times do you give small amounts of information? Think about it. When more information is needed. You know, the next thing that you want to do is to pick up the phone instead of texting. Texting can be your enemy. It can be the enemy. Because most of the time, I look at text messages and I either don't understand them or the person that I texted don't understand them because they don't respond back the way that they should because they're talking about something totally different. Like, for example, I had a text messaging conversation today where I've been trying to get in touch with someone and somebody else ended up communicating with that person on my behalf and then responded back with the person said that they emailed you. Well, no, so then we end up going back and forth. I said, I haven't gotten an email. And then I realized, no, the story is they emailed someone else. Well, my friend got confused and then started this whole chain of events where, you know, we have all these problems and issues. I'm like, no. This isn't exactly at all what we're talking about. And so think about it. You got to pick up the phone sometimes and say, hey, this is the situation. get on the same page. Because if you're on two different pages or you're in two different books, nobody's going to understand where you're coming from. They're going to feel like you're difficult, you're unorganized. They're going to look to you as you are the problem, not the solution. And we want to lower our chances of being misunderstood, because the more times we're misunderstood, the more inconvenient judgment is placed on us. The more times that we don't get what we want or what we need, because people either don't want to deal with us or think that they have us all figured out. And so in order to make sure that people realize that they don't have you all figured out, or that they put you in the wrong cubbyhole, you've got to add more information than you think is needed, and you need to pick up that phone. Picking up the phone nowadays is like writing a letter and sending it in the U.S. postal mail. It has gotten to the same level of importance. Oh my gosh, you called. I knew it had to be something important. I mean, remember back in the day when we called everybody all the time for anything? No matter what? What was up with that? And now it's like you get a call and you're like, it's got to be an emergency. They're calling me. But really, picking up the phone now is a big deal. But even more of a big deal than picking up the phone and giving more information, which is key. You always want to give more information than you think is needed. You always need to sometimes explain yourself, because that's life. Get over it, okay? You're going to have to explain yourself. When you go in for a job interview, when you go in for whatever, you got to explain yourself, okay? When you're going on a date, you got to explain yourself too. So expect to explain yourself throughout life. It's part of it, okay? It's the human condition. It's one of the things that we agree to do. Also, think about picking up the phone. Next, even better than picking up the phone, is to do the old popover. Sometimes just going in person is just the way to go. Sometimes going in person and showing up is the way to go. It's what you have to do. Going over there, and what's up? How you doing? Just wanted to say hi. That shows that you care, that you went out of your way. And also, in person, somebody cannot misjudge you based on how they hear you over the phone or what you text or what you emailed. And they can't judge your emotional stance or where you stand like they can on the phone. When you're in person, they can see you, your body language, your presentation, your overall demeanor. This is very important, because it takes all the guesswork out of life and it puts you right there. And sometimes I understand that some of us are scared to go meet in person because we're scared about what we're going to find out. And then some of us have gotten so ingrained in this world that we live in. Oh, don't go in person. Email first. And you know, the funny thing about email is that a lot of times the email goes into the junk bin and nobody even knows you emailed. And then we're over here sitting there thinking, man, what a jerk. I sat there and sent that email. They didn't even respond. Kind of jerk. You know, maybe you send a second email and that goes in the junk bin too. And at that point, I had enough of this person. This person's a jerk. I don't want to work with this person. And all you had to do was go on and pop on by. You could have found out a lot more. You could have found out that maybe you didn't want to work with them. But you know what you could have found out is a lot more than you did by sending emails that probably never made its way to the person that the email was sent to. We bet a lot of our lives on technology when in reality, we're kind of putting our life on the line for some stuff that's kind of stupid. I mean, we base people's emotions on their text messages. We base like breakups on text messages. We base like how somebody feels about us on a text message when it's got five words. How can you base any sort of knowledge on that at all? I mean, you at least have to have a phone call. But I believe that the Popeye, the in-person, is so much better, because you're able to show yourself, to see them in person. It's just a better experience altogether. And we've been taken away from that because technology tells us that we don't have time to pop by. We don't have time to see them in person. We don't have time for a phone call, but we do. Because you know how many more times it's going to take to deal with that text message that has not the proper meaning, that's totally misconstruing your situation? You're going to deal with that for 30 more times when you could just take and pick up the phone or go on by. And it's amazing what you can do when you go by and say hi and do the popover. So think about that. More information is always better because people will thank you for it. You'll connect with people more. They'll understand you. They'll feel good about you. And better yet, guess what? They'll probably like you more because they know you. Got a great show for you next, so stay tuned because we have a show coming out here basically toward the end of the summer called Ashley's Best. And if you think that your product or your service or your company exemplifies authentic lifestyle and living, and then it betters the lives of people that use the product or that buy the service, I'd like to hear from you. You can communicate with me on my website at ashleyburgess.com, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. Go to contact and send me a letter, and I will respond back to you ASAP because I want to know all the information. I want to know who you are, and I bet that we can have a very good relationship. Have a great night. We have a great show for you next in Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 3 shakes.